So I'm going to call the, this is the regular meeting of Wednesday, January 6, 2021, calling this meeting to order. Let me read the usual preface disclaimer. Pursuant to Section 3 of Executive Order N2920 issued by Governor Newsom, on March 17, 2020, the January 6, 2021, meeting of the Board of Library Trustees will be conducted exclusively through teleconference and Zoom video conference. Please be advised that pursuant to the executive order and the shelter in place order, and to ensure the health and safety of the public by limiting human contact that could spread the COVID-19 virus, there will not be a physical meeting location available. Also, please also be mindful that the teleconference will be recorded as any Board of Library Trustees meeting is recorded, and all other rules of procedure and decorum will apply for Board of Library Trustees meetings conducted by teleconference or video conference.
Okay, I got it. Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, Judy.
I got it finally.
Good.
Sorry.
This meeting will be conducted in accordance with the Brown Act, Government Code Section 54953. Any member of the public may attend this meeting. And the Board of Library Trustees may take action related to any subject listed on the agenda. So if we start with roll call. Eve, thank you.
John Slowski.
Yes, present.
Amy Roth.
Here.
Diane Davenport.
Here.
Sophie Hahn. And Judy Hunt.
Here.
Thank you.
Welcome all. Public comment on non-agenda matters. So if you want to speak on any general issue that's not on tonight's agenda, I'll give you a few seconds to raise hands, but I don't see any hands
we
raised
have
at this.
Liliana Spindler.
Oh yes.
She'll need Lana, to unmute herself.
All right. Thank you very much. Good evening, Library Trustees. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
So I'm just joining you because I'd like to keep you informed about the revenue problems caused by the City of Berkeley Finance Department and have been documented by Berkeley for assessment tax equity. In Berkeley, the city uses a non-public set of books to track dwelling square footage and to impose taxes to the property owners. Because of the haphazard manner of accounting they've been using for years, we've got those of us who are paying too much in taxes for the libraries and hundreds of others who are paying too little. For example, one 5,000 square foot home pays $2,500 in library tax, and another 5,000 square foot home close by pays $287 in library tax. These are square footage taxes, so two 5,000 square foot homes should pay the same, but they don't. Why should one subsidize the other? A small group of homeowners have come forward to ask the city to correct their dwelling square footage values because they are inappropriately charged for dirt floored, low ceilinged, unfinished, and unconditioned understory, when dozens of other similar spaces in the city are not charged for such spaces. We are proud to pay our share of the library taxes. We just don't want to subsidize others who are not paying their fair share, those who we call tax shy. We'd like you to join us, even if you are not overcharged for these taxes, and maybe even if you are undercharged for these taxes. The libraries should not be cheated out of the tax revenue that they are entitled to. The city needs to start using the Alameda County Assessor to calculate these square footage taxes. The county assessor has the protocols, the licensed appraisers, and they adhere to building codes where the city does not. Please visit our website, berkeleytaxes.info, to find out about the work we have done and to show your support for moving forward with equity and transparency. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. So I'm going to check again. I don't see any other hands. Okay. Comments from the library unions. Are there any union reps who wish to speak? I don't see anybody. All right. Last call. That's it. Okay. And comments from Board of Library Trustees. I'll just go around seeing, going by who's on my screen in order. Diane, you're up first.
I don't have any comments tonight. Thank you, John.
Thank you. Amy?
I don't have any either. Thank you, John.
Sophie?
I'm good.
All good. Thank you. Judy?
Just one comment. I wasn't able to make the lab meeting, but I'd like to thank Tess and all the staff for being as flexible as they have been during the pandemic the past year. And I'm looking forward to staff continually serving our community with positive spirit and morale. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you, Judy. I don't think I can add anything to that, so I'll just leave it there. Thank you. excuse me. Consent calendar. We have minutes from December 2nd. We have several contracts amendments. 1, 2, 3, 4, B, C, D, and E on my agenda. Are there any, does anybody want to pull any of those, or is there a motion to move the consent?
I don't want to pull anything, John, but in D, the contract amendment for bug ID, it lists Tess as the acting director. And if that could be corrected, that would be great. Otherwise, I move the consent calendar.
I second.
Thank you. Judy second?
Yes.
Thank you. So moved with that correction and moved by Diane and seconded by Judy. So we need to take a roll call on Zoom. We can't do voice votes via Zoom.
John Soloski?
Yes.
Amy Roth?
Yes.
Diane Davenport?
Yes.
Sophie Hahn?
Yes.
And Judy Hunt?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So we move to, I should check to see if anybody wants to speak on, we have one action item, and this is at, this regards our reserve policy. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on this? I don't see anybody. Okay. So Tess, you want to start this?
Sure. Thank you very much. The library would like to raise for the Board of Library Trustees consideration and potential recommendation the adoption of the resolution number R21073 to formally accept and adopt for Berkeley Public Library the Library Tax Fund Reserve Policy that we've proposed and outlined for your review. The purpose of this document, of course, is to guide and define the use, the mechanism for funding, and the approach to replenishment guidelines of the reserve. And just a comment in terms of where we've been more recently. Of course, we don't have a formal policy, right? We don't have a formal reserve policy currently, although our finance manager, Dennis, has consistently set aside an appropriate amount for what could have been considered a reserve. And currently that amount is about $1.5 million in library tax receipts, which represents about 8% of the projected tax revenues for that biennial budget cycle. And of course, the purpose of this is to help the library mitigate unanticipated financial risk or loss or emergency events, such as public health events and natural disasters. And of course, having the reserve in place ensures that the library can maintain an adequate level of service, sort of regardless of whether or not there were an adjustment in the revenue that the library was able to collect. The 8% it represents about 30 days of operations, so it's actually a fairly modest amount. But I think it's important to recognize that the library, of course, doesn't represent a city government, doesn't provide the same type of critical infrastructure as a city government. So I think the task at hand is to identify an appropriate level of funding for such a reserve without making it onerous or too large a percentage. And of course, I think looking back to the auditor's recommendations from August 2020, when the city auditor provided a report on about 6 recommended items for the library to follow up on, the need to develop and implement a reserve policy was, of course, on the list. It's a best practice in terms of city government, and also libraries that are municipal libraries and libraries with special taxing districts. And so there was a recommendation that Berkeley Public Library implement such a policy, which I think is important as well to attend to. We propose in the draft policy a range for the reserve amount. So we're basically suggesting that the range be within 6% to 10% of the adopted library tax revenues that are projected basically for that upcoming biennial cycle or biennial budget cycle. And that range is provided just to provide the Board of Library Trustees, which needs to adopt the reserve amount for each budget cycle. The range is just provided to give a little bit more flexibility, knowing that there might be a need to adjust up or down depending on the circumstances of that particular budget cycle. And of course, the policy we presented does go into a little bit more detail about how we would be funding the reserve, and also how we would recommend replenishment of the reserve were it needed to be used. So I think that with that, it's a good time to open it up for questions and discussion.
All right, thank you. Thanks, Tess. And thank you, Dennis, for working on this also. Board members? Let me see. Anybody got a hand up here? I don't see any hands in the Zoom. Is anybody waving at me? Sophie, I see your hand.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't want to speak first, but no one else is going to speak at all, then I'll raise my hand. So I'm really grateful that this has come in front of us so quickly. We just got the report recently, and we talked about, going ahead and adopting a policy as quickly as possible. And here we are at our very next meeting to have a very extensive draft. So I'm delighted about that. I did a careful review of it. I did not have a chance to sort of compare it side by side with what the city did. I have a lot of questions and a lot of, sort of depending on the answer to the question, some suggestions, but I think they would probably be better for me to do them in a meeting with Dennis, because I think it's too much for this meeting. It would take too much of our time, and I don't think that would be the most productive way to do it. And I do apologize, but I had my 1 week of vacation this year, and I took it. So I did not schedule time with staff to go over it prior to today. So I would just like to ask maybe for the opportunity to hold off on this until our next meeting. And in the interim, hopefully I can sit down and look at this as, you know, compare it to the cities and also have a conversation with Dennis and Tess. And maybe provide, I was hoping that we might end up with something a little more succinct, that this is very conversational and I think might actually be a little hard for us to follow. So I think maybe some of the conversation could be a preamble, but then we could lay the policy out a little more clearly, like A, B, C, you know, this is the amount, this is when we determine it, these are the circumstances under which we can draw down on the reserve, this is how we put together replenishment policy, something that little, a little more succinct in, for example, there's places where it says like a target of a range. Well, either it's a range or it's a target number, which the bottom or the top of the range is the target. There's just a lot of little things that I think aren't as clear as they could be and could, you know, we could sort of be stumbling over them when we actually try to implement. And then, you know, just, I have a lot of comments. So, for example, in the city of Berkeley, you can't allocate this money until an emergency has been declared. That's not reflected here. Now, we don't declare emergencies. So I wanted to think a little bit. Do we only use the money if the city has declared an emergency, or might there be emergencies that happen just to the library? But like, what would trigger it? If we just say an economic downturn, it could just be a year where we have a little less revenues than the year before. The council version really envisions like a true recessionary period. So again, there's just a lot of things I would love to look into more carefully. So I would love to continue this and come back maybe with see which of my concerns are actual concerns and which are not, and a little more study how this meshes with the city's processes or how we can mirror those processes.
Okay.
Judy,
I saw your hand. Amy, I see your hand. Judy?
Okay.
Well, was Amy first? Go ahead, Amy.
No. Well, Amy. Mine is very quick, except just in one ear and out the other. I'm okay with what Sophie is asking for as long as it doesn't inconvenience Tess. And the other thing I was going to say is I think Sophie probably... I would guess this is on your list, but I was curious about when is replenishment called for? Is there a specific level or amount or whatever? Because you didn't really mention that. But so I'm okay as long as it doesn't inconvenience Tess.
Judy?
I saw the document. I agree that it's conversational, but I saw this as the beginning of our discussion. I don't see where we have to approve it tonight for my position. I think we do need to clarify, are we going to use a range or a specific number? Mm-hmm. And if so, we need to make it clear that we will review each circumstance yearly or as budget situation arises. I think that needs to be clear how we spell out the policy. I think it's good that it's a conversational tone, but we need to be clear about range and when we will do what. And I think we keep in mind a crisis situation, how would we allocate those reserves? So I'd like to see that as part of the policy development, because like with the pandemic, you know, sometimes we may go over. And then if there is a situation where we use up the reserves, like we've had the stucco situation, and if we have reserves and we go over, how do we address possible deficit? I think we always need to keep that in mind so we have guidance in the future if we should find ourselves potentially in a situation like that.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Judy. Thank you, Sophie.
Those are just my thoughts.
Yep. Thank you.
If I could just respond briefly, is that okay?
That's okay. I was going to, I just want to hear from Tess and Dennis about, you know, if this is going to be a burden for the next meeting, but please go ahead. Go, Sophie.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say that I think Judy's comments bring up another really important point, because the city's policy, you would never be able to pull on it just because you had a cost overrun on a stucco project. It's only triggered for essentially natural disaster, man-made, but you know, natural disaster type situations and prolonged, you know, recessionary periods. So that is one of a number of things that I think we would really need to clarify, that there's a difference between allocating sort of extra money that you have lying around, and we have some of that too, and a reserve. A reserve you don't dip into except for reserve purposes, and usually that's acts of God type things, or, you know, very significant external forces that not for like a routine extra expense kind of thing. But we could decide we wanted to use our reserve for that. But just by having, you know, even that statement reminded me of why we need to be super clear about what is the purpose of the reserve and when can it be used.
Okay, thank you. Tess and Dennis, continue. I don't have a problem with continuing this. As far as I'm concerned, we don't need to take action tonight, but is that in any way an issue for the next meeting or your own schedule or whatever?
No, it's not an issue at all. And we would welcome follow-up conversations, and we're happy to schedule those.
Good.
And thank you for the feedback, everyone.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a big thing to start putting pen to paper. There's so many elements to something like this. So it is fairly unwieldy. I mean, there's just a lot of things to think about. Who, what, when, where, and how. and I don't need to continue to a date certain. We could continue it with the intention of bringing it back at, you know, one of the next two meetings or something.
Yeah. Okay. As soon as possible. That's okay with me. So
that's what I would do. I'd make a motion to continue it to a future meeting when the library director feels it's ready.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion on that? Should we take a vote? Eve, roll call.
Hey. John Sawalski.
Yes.
Amy Roth.
Yes.
Diane Davenport.
Yes.
Sophie Hom.
Yes.
And Judy Hunt.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you all. Again, thank you, Tess. Thank you, Dennis. So we will see this in the very near future. Information reports. We have the director's report up next.
Thank you. And I too would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge and thank Dennis for all of his work on this and all of his upcoming work on this with me as well. Thank you for that, Dennis. So beginning the director's report, I am excited to highlight the fact that Berkeley Public Library received its first five-star library designation from Library Journal, which is, of course, a popular trade publication for people in the library world. And it is not an easy designation to receive. It's very interesting. It's actually based on a number of different criteria that includes data around circulation, the size of the collection, number of Wi-Fi sessions, public access computing sessions, program attendance. So it's quite comprehensive. And it was also exciting to see that we were one of two library systems in California to receive this designation. And of course, there are quite a large number of public libraries within California. So that in of itself was amazing. And to be, I think, acknowledged the same way that a system like San Francisco Public would be is also amazing. We received the second ranking sort of within our budgetary cohort for our collection size as well, which I think is wonderful that we were acknowledged for the depth of our collection in addition to everything else. I also want to note that the designation for 2020 is based on data from fiscal year 2018. So this is a wonderful acknowledgement, recognition of then acting director Elliot Warren and his leadership. And of course, ultimately, it's the staff of Berkeley Public Library that make any kind of award like this possible, because it's really their collective effort that results in this kind of acknowledgement. In particular, really want to acknowledge and thank all of the staff that's been so involved in developing our collections, all of the librarians, all of the folks that work in the collection management arena. And of course, IT is so critical in terms of ensuring that we have the infrastructure we need to provide computer access. And we have a small but mighty IT team, and I just want to call them out. And of course, the circulation staff for providing so much support in terms of materials management and making sure that people get all of these items that they want quickly and with great customer service. And all of the people, including all of the building maintenance and people that clean and maintain the environments for people when they are able to come into the building and visit the library, that's of course very important as well. So we're so excited for this recognition. I'm so proud of the staff, and it's really nice to hear this kind of news during an otherwise trying season. So it's really great. Want to share a little bit more information about the decision that the library made, of course, in coordination with staff teams and our joint labor management around changing slightly our hours for outdoor pickup. And of course, we implemented new reduced hours on Monday, December 21st. We introduced winter hours that conclude at 6 p.m. instead of 8 p.m. in all locations. And the reason why we made this decision was because we were really looking for ways to continue to center public and staff safety, especially amidst the COVID surge that's currently taking place in California. Mm-hmm. And so we were looking to be able to change how we implement our schedules so that we could reduce overall the amount of time that staff is spending in person with other staff. So even though, of course, we continue to implement social distancing and mask wearing and, you know, hand washing and being very attentive to all of these different interventions, we thought that if we could find ways to continue to reduce the number of people that are working together on a shift, it would help. And after doing some data analysis of our circulation numbers, it became clear that the lowest usage, particularly after I think daylight savings change, was at night. And also this, I think the fact that the surge and the stay home order was put into place also had an impact on our evening usage patterns as well. So of course these new hours will remain in effect until at least the end of January, but we will be reevaluating this change in about the next week or so in case we need to implement any changes with respect to that. And most importantly, to ensure that we're not cutting anybody in the community off of access, because of course, making sure that everyone can access service is one of our highest priorities. We will make sure that anyone who is not able to come to the library either on Saturday or before six will be able to receive books by mail or some other type of modified service. So I just want to be very clear about that. Making sure that people have access is a priority. Moving on to a different topic, another very positive topic, the fact that the Central Library Improvement Project construction is basically complete. So I know that this is something that we've all been waiting for a long time. And this project has really spanned over years. But of course, construction picked up in earnest last year. And it's so exciting to see the building with all of the furniture in place. So this occurred the week of December 21st, and it really just highlights how wonderful the renovations are, and it really looks more like a finished product now. And there are a few adjustments that need to be made with the furniture, a few sort of nicks here and there, and a couple of items missing that need to be accounted for. But the architects, Noel and Tam, completed their final walkthrough, their final punch list walkthrough of the site on December 29th. And really, there are only lower level issues that remain to be addressed. One example of that is we still need to just have the fire department clearance take place. So there's an installation of a fire alarm subpanel that still needs to be completed. We need to complete the installation of our security system with the vendor Biblioteca. That's something that still needs to be completed. There's also some smaller issues, like in terms of the lighting in the new gender neutral restroom. The lighting needs to be adjusted because it's rather dim. And that actually represents a change order from the original design, just because when it was completed, it became clear that it was just a little bit too dark in the restroom. There are also some basic completion items that still need to be done. So the light programming for all of the light fixtures will be complete on, looks like, January 11th. And I think that's most of it. There are a few odds and ends here and there, but it's a pretty modest list. So it's very exciting. And I very much want to acknowledge our senior building maintenance supervisor, Brian Gavin, for his work and his role in supporting this and really being the on-site support person for the construction contractor for DL Falk, because Brian was consistently there checking in, monitoring progress, consistently passing on information and communicating proactively, and also always making suggestions, even in light of some of these things that need to be updated or changed before we can open. He's just so careful, and his attention to detail in terms of wanting to make sure that the taxpayers really get the best final product. I really have to credit him as well as Elliot Warren for his contribution on this project. I don't think we'd be where we are without Brian. So I just want to mention him. I'd also like to mention a couple of other staff within our finance team. The two assistant management analysts that we have that work with Dennis, Ray Westfall and Rafi Gregorian. Turning over now to a different topic. Of course, the city of Berkeley is moving and making a wonderful advances in the implementation of its new accounting system. So it's a payroll accounting system called IRMA, the Enterprise Resource Management Application. And of course, the project manager and lead, Tasha Turvalon, in the city of Berkeley really needs to be credited with her amazing work on this. But I want to acknowledge Ray and Rafi for working so hard behind the scenes to make sure that the library is able to make this transition seamlessly to the new software. And I do not take this kind of transition for granted because, you know, we're talking about the most sensitive kind of data here, such as people's leave accruals and, you know, their pay. And I'm really appreciative of the fact that they've done so much to ensure that this is a positive transition. And they are about to enter the first payroll into the new system, which is true for all of the city of Berkeley. So we're really excited. And I just wanted to call out their efforts because they do work really hard. And I think people aren't always aware of who makes these things possible. So wanted to take a minute to acknowledge them and turn it over to all of you in case you have questions about any of these items.
Tess, can you send us a copy of the Library Journal article that makes us a five-star library? I'd just like to see what they have to say about others and whatnot as well. It'd just be fun to read the whole thing. And two, when we get to a place where we can be together again, can we schedule a run through of all of the new stuff at Central for Bolt so that we can actually see the changes and whatnot? Because I'm dying to see the teen room and, yeah, you know, wonder about the gender neutral bathrooms and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to be out there being able to talk about it with people who bring it up that I see in the street. So I'd love to see it when we get a chance.
We're so excited to do that.
Thank you, Diane. That's a great idea. You think that'll be this year?
yes.
Sophie, you have your hand up. Was that from the former item or did you have a comment?
It was, but if now to comment on the whole report.
Would you comment on or yeah. question or yeah okay. yes
so I don't think we're excited enough about this five-star thing. So excited, this is a big deal, and I appreciate, you know, come on folks, where have we come these last few years, these last 7 years, for us to land here at this moment, it's quite extraordinary. And I second Tess's kudos to Elliot and the whole team that were here before she came and are still here. This is a big deal. And I think because we can't be together and we can't be in the library together and everything's kind of a drag and today's a super big drag, we might be missing some of the lift that we ought to be getting from this. And so I want us to think about how we can. So I've been poking around on Berkeley side for a couple of days waiting to see an article about this. And I don't. I just checked again while we were talking. Mm-hmm. I assume that the first part of your report is also a press release, right? Cut and paste. So it hasn't been picked up. I wonder why, right? the community has to know about this. This is a big deal. And I would like to ask if my colleagues agreed with me, to ask if Tess might think with her staff, how do we celebrate and publicize and share this in the time of COVID? Mm-hmm. I would love to see them in all of our buildings. They may be closed.
Exactly.
But people still go by. Big red banners that say, you know, American Library Association 5-star library. Brought to you by your library employees.
Taxpayers of Berkeley and employees, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some real estate. Maybe we can publicize on our own real estate and lift some people's spirits a little bit. Maybe the foundation could help us
spread the Friends position. Would pay for banners in a minute.
Yes.
And I know that the news media are very, very busy with other stories, but I would be willing to write it to one of my colleagues. Unfortunately, more than two of us can't work together. I really think that we need to do more than just talk about this in this meeting and put a press release out. This is something to be so proud of. And not just for our staff and our library and for us to be proud of, but the whole community.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want more out of this. And I would love for some ideas, or I mean, you don't even have to bring them back to us unless they require funding, but I would love a real rollout on this.
Amy did a great article on it that she sent out. So
go ahead.
Maybe we can really push that. Yeah. You know,
I was gonna bring Amy Reeder into this.
I mean,
was there a press release? Was there some kind of?
Yeah, there was.
Yeah,
so I thought there was. Yeah.
I know, but a press release doesn't get you a story. Not when you got people dying and, you know, a coup in Washington, D.C.
Well, yeah.
You want me to?
Okay, I'll send an email to Frances in the morning saying, hey, this
I'll give her a call tomorrow.
Well, as an old employee and as a board member, both, I can talk about it in two ways and say, you know, the staff really needs to hear about this. So this is very, very, very good work. Amy? I see you waving.
Is it just
go, Amy. Sorry,
and tell me if this is inappropriate to jump in, but Diane, if we could just connect before you do it, because the email about it to the public was although the press release went out like the day after, you saw that it was before
it went like that. I'll call you in the morning.
The newsletter that announces it to the public, which goes out to over 100,000 people, was scheduled to go out this afternoon. As you know, democracy was having a moment. And so we pulled that email back with Tess's permission. We pulled back that email. Yeah. So one reason you haven't heard the bragging rights is partially because of that. Usually Berkeley side tends to pick up on what other people are saying, you know, but also Tess did get an interview from a different press outlet today. So let's connect a little bit more.
I'll talk to you in the morning and I won't screw you up. I promise.
I like that. Yeah. Democracy had a moment today. Amy Roth, go. We've had a lot of moments. Go ahead.
As Diane said, I think both of us becoming from the Friends, I'm sure would make banners or something like that. And just off the top of my head, why not a special bookmark that goes into every book that goes out?
Exactly.
Right? A five, you know, whatever it's supposed to say.
That's, we can use our reserve.
Brought to you by your.
Okay, never mind. never mind. I didn't say that.
All right.
Judy, do you have your hand up? Go.
Yeah, I agree with Sophie and everyone else what's been said. But I would like,
every branch should have something about what it means to be a five-star library. And I would like to see the five stars and the five elements briefly explained so people would understand what does the five-star mean.
Yes.
And I think this is a wonderful opportunity to get the word out that so positive how far our Berkeley Library has come.
Right.
Everybody needs to know this. For at the tool library, every time somebody comes in, hand it to them. But we really need to publicize it. And I would hope that we could have a flag or something at Berkeley's five-star library.
Fireworks?
It draws attention. It draws people in. Excuse me?
Fireworks.
Oh, no.
Well, we're thinking safety, Sophie, you know, but at any rate, we need to publicize this. So whatever Amy can do in terms of marketing, let's do it.
Okay.
All right. Amy Roth?
I want to thank Sophie for bringing that up. It was an excellent point, and she's right. Exactly. So thank you, Sophie.
Thank you all, great ideas. So we have work to do.
I just wanted to ask one last question. What do we have, 120 employees? Is that right, staff?
Yeah, 120, 125 in there, yeah.
And there's five of us. So if each of us wrote 25 thank you notes, every single employee would get one.
I could do that.
So can I?
Why don't we have one that everybody gets the same thing? We all sign it.
Something like that. I'd like to personally thank everybody. You guys can think about that.
Yeah.
I'm willing to participate in anything like that, whatever it is.
Right. Me too.
And I think it'd be really nice. I mean, it's really nice for every staff member to get something that's signed by the five of us these days. I think it would be very, very special. And, you know, we can add notes or whatever, but it's such an important thing. We should really acknowledge it.
Diane, can we designate you to work with Tess on a note?
You bet.
And then we can just send the packet from each, you know, from house to house, and people can sign them. It's 120. It's not that hard to do.
Yeah.
What about your rock star?
I'm sure we can figure that out. Yeah. I'll work with Tess on that. Sure. Of course.
All right, folks. Thank you.
Great director's report, Tess. Thank you.
Unless somebody has another comment on this, we move to our items for future agendas. We certainly have one that we continued from tonight. So any other items that we need to bring up in the near future?
Any staff reports that you think we should have, Tess, that are sort of on the horizon?
Yeah, we will be doing a staff report soon on the culinary tools launch.
Okay. Great. Good.
All right.
Good.
Anything else?
Tip for me.
That's it. All right. So we don't have anything else to discuss, correct?
Yeah, we can all go watch CNN and
really?
Oh my God.
Never
sink and
get sick to my stomach again. I know. All right. Everyone take care.
Yep.
Be safe.
Thank you. Same to you all.
See you next time. Thank you all. Good meeting. Good night. Very good meeting. Thank you.
Well done, John.
Good night. Good night, everybody.
Okay.
Good night.